Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success. I'm taking my freedom, pulling it off the shelf, putting it on my chain, wearing it round my neck. I'm taking my freedom, putting it in my car, wherever I choose to go, it won't take me far. I'm living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden.
You know, if that intro does not pep you up, then I don't know what could. So get pepped, Keish. Hey, y'all. Welcome to episode number 12 of Mamas on the Move. I am Brandi Hunter-Lewis.
I'm Keisha Johnson.
And y'all, we're coming to you today with heavy spirits because Keisha done been through a lot this week. She done been dragged this week.
I've been rolled hard to put up wet
she
times 10.
She been rolled
10.
Hard and put up wet times 10.
It's been a long week.
It's been a long week for my girl. So y'all empathize with her and send her some positive energy and prayers and all that good stuff so we can shift her mood.
Yeah, because, you know, and that's why I wanted to talk about mindset this week. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, like, I've been in a really tough space this week.
Yeah.
And before we get into that, I do want to talk about, you know, we definitely want to talk about what's going on in our lives recently.
Yeah.
So we'll start with you because mine's going to be a little lengthy today.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I kick it off. Last 2 weeks for me, I swear, it does feel like we were here last week.
It does. They're running together. I mean, we're already in mid-February almost.
Already.
Because it's almost Valentine's Day.
Already. So I almost have to like, oh my God, what did happen? It all happened so fast. And when there's so much going on, we celebrated my husband's 50th birthday.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. So that was cool. Did a little Super
Ryan
Bowl.
Ryan looks great.
He does.
He looks really, really good.
I
didn't know
age.
Ryan was 50. I've been telling you for years you needed an older man, though.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
You'd be right, girl. You'd be right.
But for everybody, life but my own. But go ahead.
So, celebrate, I threw him a Super Bowl / 50th birthday party, and we had some of his relatives come from Virginia.
Nice.
So it was really, really nice. We had a good time. All the kids were there. We just celebrated and just had a real good old-fashioned house party fun.
You know, people are going back to house parties.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that a lot more when people are having things, they're going back to the house party thing. I don't know if it's because you say, but I feel like it's more intimate.
It is.
When you go out to places, people are on their phones, people are less engaged and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so Ryan's 50th, that's a big deal.
Yeah, so Ryan's 50th, and between that and our sons are playing in the regional playoffs right now.
Okay.
So we got a lot of basketball games going on, and they're still in it. So got one tonight, actually. They play Pebble Brook.
Oh, wow.
So if we beat them, then we go to the championship game in our region tomorrow. And then if we win that one, then we'll be seated high, really high, going to the state tournament.
Okay.
So it's an exciting time. It's like, ooh, a whole lot of nervous energy.
Right.
This is my baby's senior
year. Yeah, I saw y'all took the pictures for senior night. That's a big deal.
Yep. So yeah, we had his senior night, which was like just an abundance of emotions because my Chase, like, you know, you would love all your children equally.
Absolutely.
And I would, you know, of course you do. But my Chase just has a very special place in my heart. He is, you know, he's always been the one that he's my right hand. Like,
And anytime I need something, I can ask Chase. It's going to get done.
Right.
You know, if there's something, you know, Chase was always that one looking over my shoulder, making sure I was good. And all of my sons are like that, but Chase almost too. He's a little possessive. Yeah. Like about his mama.
About his mama.
And so we got a special little relationship. So when that boy go off to school, I'm gonna be a mess because that's my baby. Yeah. And just you know, so those emotions came about during senior night.
Sure.
And they had a great game. They had a really, really good game. It was really exciting. So between all the sports and birthday parties and work, you know, because work is always work, you know, our jobs.
How's everything going with getting your new assistant set up?
You know, it's going really well.
That's good.
She's picking up on things quickly. She's sharp. So it's coming along really, really good. So I'm excited about that. Cool. But that's pretty much been the summation of my week. I was glad, you know. It was stressful leading up to all this planning for the party. Mm-hmm. And so that was, you know, that's stressful.
Yeah.
But outside of that, you know, we got through it.
And at least you didn't try to make it a surprise because you asked me. I'm like, I don't think he'll want a surprise.
No, yeah.
Most men don't like surprises.
So that's I told him about it. He was open to it. I still put a few surprises in there. Like, he didn't know his sisters were coming from Virginia.
So
he didn't know that. So it turned out really well.
Good. That's this lady texting me about this car. That's what I'm trying to tell you right now.
Well, girl, listen, she gonna have to pause for the calls.
I know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We record.
I know. So to talk about my week. So I lost one of my, starting off, it was tough. I lost one of my surrogate moms, Mama Cherry. Cherry Collier Jackson, and she was one of those people that kind of stood in the gap for me, like, you know, when, you know, and so she was like a grandmother to DJ, like a mama to me, and, you know, went to the doctor, you know, went to the doctor. They found out she had a small heart attack, you know, small. So they said, you know, we need to get you to the hospital, prepped her for a quadruple bypass. So we all get to the hospital. They come out there like, we didn't have to do a quadruple. We ended up doing a triple. She came through like a champ. She did great. You know, a couple of days later, she was talking up, alert.
Right.
And then she just took a turn for the worse. And, you know, it's just, you know, just took a turn for the worse. And so we had her home going last Saturday. And then so it had been, you know, because Cherry and her, my girlfriend, my sister friend, they were very close. Her mother lived with her.
Wow.
So, you know, like most of us, we go off to college and you never really live with your parents again.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a long road for her, but she's a very positive person, very, you know, but I don't care how positive you are when something like this happens, because I've been there.
Yeah.
It is one of those things that when everybody goes away and all the, it's when the things get real for you, you know, you've been there
Grief
really kicks in.
Yeah.
So DJ and I, of course, went to the home going, I get home finally Saturday night. He goes to senior night at his school and I finally get ready to Netflix and chill. Cause it's been a long week already.
Yeah. You ready to just.
Right. Just kind of wind down. And the phone rings, and, you know, first I'm panicking. Because anytime, you know, you hear a panic in your child's voice and you hear accident, you're like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
Especially for me, because that's like, you know, lost his dad.
Yeah.
So finally when I realized he's okay, and I'm like, what happened? He was like, oh, I had a fender bender, and that Scorpio freaking personality, which is dry as dust at times, and so kind of nonchalant. Well, you know, I just a little dent in her car, and da-da-da-da. And the lady was very nice. Very nice. She got on the phone. She was like, your son is fine. I have a 26.
So he hit her from behind.
Yeah. They were leaving out the parking lot at his school from the basketball game. So she was like, and so, you know, he was like, well, do you want to talk to her? And I'm like, because I'm at this point trying to figure out, how do you have accidents sitting still?
Yeah.
So he told me that his car just leaped forward. I'm like, okay, here we go.
That's such a teenage response.
Oh, my God. So she gets on the phone and she's like, yeah, we were literally just sitting here trying to slowly pull out. And he just, you know, hit me from the back. She said, but I'm fine. He's fine. I'm a mom. I have a 26-year-old son. You know, she was very kind.
Yeah.
I just want my car fixed, you know. Not going to be talking about my back hurt, my neck hurt, blah, blah, blah. So I'm mad. Okay. I'm really mad.
You should be.
But I'm thinking, you know, when DJ told me it didn't, I said, get a picture. So he gets home, no picture. I'm pissed. I'm getting more and more angry. So Monday, I'm showing property, and the estimate comes over. It's $2,500 before the rental car that she's going to need for 8 days. So you're talking about $32 when it's all said and done, okay? Mm. So Monday night, he gets home from prep. I'm sick for the rest of the day. I think I text you and Miko, like, I'm just sick.
Yeah.
So when he gets home that night, this is how the ensuing physical thing happened. Oh. Because I'm on the phone with my brother telling him about everything, and this is going to cost me $3,200 and blah, 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 blah. And so then I'm asking DJ, same questions that my brother's asking me.
Right.
So he was answering, but very dry, very dismissive like. Mm. So finally I said one other, I asked him one more question, which I felt like, I guess for him.
And it was, this was after the estimate,
this was
the
after
numbers.
The estimate. This is Monday night with me sitting in
had
my.
Had you shared that with him yet?
Did yes. He know? So I said, okay. This, he was like, it's no way it's going to cost you $3,000. Just a little dent. So I'm getting more upset. I was like, DJ, you're not a freaking collision analyst. You don't know what it costs. And first of all, you can have a nick on something, but if you got to replace that whole part.
Yeah.
And she has a right to have new parts. She has a right to have it however she wants. It's her
That's
car.
Right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So I asked him one more question. I guess it was just one too many for him, because he answered me back. He said, I said.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Girl, before I knew it, it should have took me about 5 steps to get to him. I took one long one. Baby, I had him on the ropes before I knew it. I was, you know what I'm saying? It was just, I was
wrong
just,
answer,
I,
DJ.
Right, you going to tell me. I said, oh, girl, my brother was on the phone. I forgot. I blacked out. I'm telling you. But you know, it had been going on for some months. That was just the coup de grace.
Yeah.
Like the thing that just took me over the edge to maybe have to whoop ass.
Yeah.
Because my thing is, how dare you be dismissive and nonchalant about my money?
Right.
And the fact that you were distracted driving, period. Yeah. I don't care what you say, because the car don't do nothing that you don't tell it to do.
Right.
So that just got that girl. And then it went left.
It went downhill.
And it seemed like the week just went from there, from one thing, deal was supposed to happen, it fell apart. Had a seller that decided like, you ever see the movie Moving?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how they decided to do the night before. They took the blinds. They took the window treatments. They took the lock off the pantry. They just, I'm like, what the?
Stuff they were not supposed to take.
So after all of that with DJ, I get a call from the agent. My client just drove by excited about the house she's closed on tomorrow. And she said there are no blinds. There are no window treatments. And she's concerned about what else they may have taken. That's what I text you and said, I'm going to the liquor store. Remember? I was like, I can't take that.
I need a drink.
I need some drink. You talk about, girl, do what you got to do. Matter of fact, I had one for you. I'm like, it was just so much. And so that kind of spiraled me down with the gray weather. You know, I've been very transparent about my struggle with depression.
Yeah.
And I feel like it just sent me to a dark space. And then I felt like I couldn't reach out to you. Okay, so now we're kind of getting into what we're talking about.
Ooh,
this week.
Okay. Well, we might as well just dive right on in there.
Yeah.
So, and our topic for today is
mindset over madness.
Mindset over madness.
Because I've been on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
And you always talk about mindset. You know, you speak about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And not to say that it's not a challenge for me at times. Like,
is it though? Because I never sensed that anything is a challenge for you.
Oh, no, no. I internalize it more than I verbalize it. You know, so it's like the way that I deal with stress, the way that I deal with anxiety. You know, because
I have anxiety.
Oh, honey, I have anxiety.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
See, I
had an anxiety moment this past week, which I didn't share because this was part of my what happened this week. I had an anxiety moment where I could not reach my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband is notorious for it. He's not a phone person, mm-hmm. right? So if his phone die, he
don't worry about trying to get the plug back in.
Like, he's not a social media person. Like, he's not attached to his phone like most
like
people
we
are.
We have to be because of our business.
Exactly.
Right.
And so, you know, that drives him crazy about me, and it drives me crazy about him.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a period of about 5 hours
mm-hmm.
where I couldn't reach him, and, you know, it was just a lot going on,
mm-hmm.
and his phone was dead, and he was at the auction, but it was a lot going on because, of course, he, you know, sells cars and all mm-hmm. that good stuff. But it was a lot going on at the auction that caused him not to be able. He had locked his keys in his car
mm-hmm.
and couldn't. It was just a long story.
It was a lot going on with him.
But in the midst of all of that, I couldn't reach him. And I start to. So what I realized about myself is that I have post-traumatic stress.
Yes.
And in situations like that where I find myself where I can't reach a loved one, or if
yes.
I'm expecting to hear from somebody and I don't hear from them, really with my children
and your husband.
And my
that
husband.
Makes sense. Absolutely.
Oh, I go into panic mode.
Right.
And my mind goes to a place where it probably shouldn't.
Right.
You know?
But
and,
it's because of what you
But
went
it's because
with your late
of what
husband.
I, yeah, what I experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where my anxiety comes from. And it's pretty bad,
mm-hmm.
the space that I go to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had to kind of coach my children through it because they don't get it. You know what I'm saying? They don't
right.
like, Mama, I'm good. You
right.
know, just, and even my husband, he's like, baby, you should have known it, that
right.
I was okay. Like
right.
you should have known. But I'm like, listen, you got to work with me. You got to meet me right where I am with this right now because I haven't completely.
Right.
I still deal with it.
It's probably going to be a lifelong thing because, and it's funny that you say that because I do the same thing. I remember one night DJ was walking the driveway.
Yeah.
And he does that. I told you about how it irritates me how he walks the driveway like 2 or 3 hours at a time. But this is when he first did it. So when I went outside and I didn't see him and I'm calling his name, now I don't know he has headset on.
Yeah.
It's dark outside and you know how long my driveway is.
Right.
So he decides without telling me, I'm just going to hang up by the gate and whatever it is that he does.
Yeah.
I'm calling 911 because I can't find my child.
Yes.
I'm get in the car. I pull out and start to drive up the driveway.
Yeah.
And there he is up at the gate just doing his thing. But again, it's like you said, we definitely suffer from PTSD because of what we've been through. And so I can relate.
So, yeah. So I have anxiety as it relates to that. And I will experience anxiety in other areas when I'm dealing with a lot of stress, you know, with compounding, whether it's from kids or work. And it really happens at night where my mind is just...
Won't settle.
I mean, it just won't settle, and it will drive me to the point of even having a headache.
Right.
So I've had to combat a lot of that with. I'm learning so much from these podcasts, girl. I can't. You know, I know we listen to ours, but I'm like, I am gaining. So I'm growing a lot.
Just share which one was your top two.
So my top two. Oprah's Super Soul Sunday.
Yeah, you taught me about
that. She interviews some amazing people and, you know, authors that have books that are like, you know, renowned that, you know, and a lot of self-help stuff.
Right.
You know, so, you know, dealing with a lot, dealing with ego, dealing with mindfulness, dealing with, you know, things to just help you just deal with the pressures of life.
Yeah, because life is hard. Life is hard. And I think that we sometimes... So the reason I wanted to talk about mindset is because sometimes I feel like that can be easier said than done.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when... And it's crazy because I laid in that bed this week, you know, other than when I had to be out and showing a house or showing a client or something like that. And I just... Because, you know, I was getting ready. That was the other thing. I was getting ready to go back into my room.
Yeah.
I was moving back into my owner's suite. Had got my designer in place. Yeah. And DJ with this $3,200 threw that off.
Set you back.
Set me back.
Yeah.
So it just kind of spiraled from there. And I told you, and Amika, I said, I feel like I take 5 steps forward and, you know, 8 steps back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I had this amazing month or two and then all of a sudden. And so I felt very alone.
Yeah.
I felt like I can't reach out to anybody. Because it comes to a time where when you're around high functioning, successful people all the time, like I am with y'all, and my brother and, you know, people that are in my life, I feel like I can't talk to y'all because I feel like y'all don't get it.
Mm.
And depression is not something you can control. You can try to minimize it by, you know, but I just wasn't in the mood to be like,
And you know, and you don't have to be in. You know, so I'm giving you permission to not have to be but you do have to be aware of when you go into those spaces and you have to choose to do things that will help bring you out of it. And that's, you know, that's something that maybe I can't help you with, that Miko or anybody else, your brother can't help you with. You have to recognize, because we don't necessarily always, like, especially if you don't share with us. You know, I knew you was going through some ish this week just because of, you know, just what you shared. Mm-hmm. But I'm like... It's really in that alone time. Like when I had my anxiety moment, you know, I'm calling, hell, me and Renee called every hospital in the city. You know what I'm saying? We called every hospital. We called. So
5 hours is a long time.
Girl, it's a long time.
That's a long time.
A long time.
Right.
And it went into the evening, like 11 o'clock. So that's where it was stressful.
Right.
You know, but, you know, I had to realize like nobody can help me with this deal with this anxiety I'm having but me. Like I called his best friend was just trying to settle me, like, B, he's good, he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just losing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I just had to sit back and I was in tears. Girl, that's what I'm saying. This anxiety will have you all jacked up.
Right.
It will have you all jacked up. And I just had, you know what, say, Lord, I just have to release this because I can't continue like this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't continue in this phase that I'm in because it's only going to do me harm internally. I got to trust that he's okay. And girl, 15 minutes later, he drove up. Like, wasn't nothing wrong.
I would have really been pissed.
Girl,
right.
But you know what?
I was so happy to see him,
but I was also like, oh my God, you just don't know the agony what I've been going through. But then when he shared with me what happened with him, I felt bad because I'm like, I don't want to dump all my stuff on you when you went through everything that you went through.
Right.
You know, so it's tough, man. It's tough. Like, and as you... as you learn to deal with the pressures and even the depression that you experience when you have life happen to you, because here's what I know, Keisha, life is going to continue to happen to you.
It is.
Life is going to continue to happen to you. But if we don't come up with ways to deal with life as it happens, because you asked me about who I listen to, and she had just interviewed Divine Franklin. You know who Divine Franklin is? So he just wrote a book called Produced by Faith, and it talks about how he, you know, suffered for so many years because he was so angry. His father passed when he was 9 years old, and you know, he talked about his experience and how being produced by faith and how his faith was the thing that helped him, you know, just channel through or navigate through all the things that came his way in life. And it was a really good podcast. So that's one I would encourage you to listen to, Produced by Faith, but where she interviewed Divine Franklin. But, you know, it's really finding ways to cope with your stuff, you know, and I encourage you, because my sister is going through some really hard times right now. And, you know, she told me that she needs me. You know, she said, Brandy, I need you now more than ever. And I had to step back, and I'm like, you know what? I know she needs me, and I'm going through my own personal struggles, you know, internal and external, like everything I got going on. But I had to also accept that I cannot be anybody's savior.
Right.
I'm nobody's savior.
Right.
You know, and you can only do what you can do, but you also have to flip, or not flip it, but also help you recognize where the awareness is so important, and you gotta figure out how in that moment, what can I do for myself in that moment to help me not go into a deeper spiral that's only going to continue to set me back.
Right. But that's the stuff that I be talking about. And that's why I personally prefer to stay to myself. And then y'all don't understand it sometimes. And I think hopefully going forward, you guys will. And that's why I told Miko yesterday, this is why I don't talk to people. When I'm going through, I just rather process it my way. Yeah. And people may not understand it. You may not be able to reach me, but this is why, because even with what you just said, that still is coming from a different mindset.
Yeah.
Even to be when you're in a real state of depression, your mind isn't thinking like that. I got to get out here and do what I got to stop this from going further. It doesn't work that way. Your brain is not working that way. It's not functioning that way.
So, okay. So I know we've talked about therapy, and I told you I go to therapy. Now, I know you said that you were going to start back going.
I have not.
You have not.
Why have you? Because I haven't had no episodes in a while. It's been a minute. I've been doing really good.
But Keish, I'm telling you, but then life happens.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like you have to learn to process the stuff when it happens. And I think having a therapist that you see on a routine level will help you even when you're doing good, because I'm telling you, that's one thing that God has promised us is that we will have hard times. You will have tribulations. And if you can't learn to deal with life when it happens to you in that way, it will be a continual state of cycle of depression for you. And I'm like, you have so much to offer this world. Oh my God. I mean, we're already witnessing that between one, this podcast, between two, the Kicking It with Keisha.
I didn't even do it last night.
You ain't do it last night.
I didn't do it last night. And I had so many, I got 12 messages. Hey, I didn't see you.
But you know
stuff
what?
Like that.
I mean, don't beat yourself up too bad.
But exactly. And I just said, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah.
And I was just too drained. And those people, they literally like one girl was like, you know, I had my first contract terminated. I was so looking forward to you making me laugh. You know, I needed somebody to make me laugh.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? You can't. I was drained. And I just didn't have it to pour into them last night.
Yeah.
You know?
But you got to honor that too.
Right. And that's why I made a point. I mean, at first I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? I'm just not in the mood.
Yeah.
I'm just not in the mood. So I didn't do it. And I did it because my things started dinging. And so I did put up a message to say, hey guys, no, you didn't miss it. I just didn't do it tonight.
Yeah.
You know, see you soon, because I don't want people to be, I don't want to be that selfish.
Yeah.
Although I'd be doing that with y'all sometimes.
Yeah,
but
yeah, you do.
I don't want my fans for Kicking It with Keisha to be worried about me. But no, seriously.
So you give your fans more courtesy than you give your...
Y'all know me. Mm-hmm. They don't know me in real life. Y'all know ultimately, you can reach my brother if you had to.
Yeah.
Them folks don't know me like that. Yeah. And I realized after getting those messages, those people really kind of started to rely on me being on there to give them words of encouragement and all this. And I have told them, and it's the truth, if you don't write your own narrative, it will be written for you.
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying. And I do have, and it's like today, you know, and I'm telling you, my brother and I were talking, it's like that gray weather. And like you told me, you know, there's blue skies behind those clouds. Mm-hmm. But it is, and that's why I said mindset is super important, or your life will spiral.
But you know what? Here's what you have to consciously choose to do. Like when you find yourself in those spaces, you got to play. Like that's why I'm choosing to, because even in my chaos that is always going on in my life, it's chaos always going on in my life, I'm choosing to listen to stuff like those podcasts.
Right,
in the car.
I agree with you.
You got to do stuff like that, Keisha, because if not, your flesh, you know, whatever else is looming in your thoughts, you know, the enemy is going to prey on that, and it's only going to continue to fester and go in a direction that you don't want it to go.
And I agree with you on that. And the reason so when you talked about with Ryan not being able to answer the phone for 5 hours,
yeah.
See, when this kind of stuff happens, that the reason I think it gets so bad for me is because I remember I don't have somebody to reach out to like that.
Mm.
I don't have anybody even to wait to come through the door.
Yeah.
And so it sometimes magnifies the loss, the void.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know Daryl ain't coming back. That's not what this is about. But sometimes it gets to that space. And my brother and I were talking about that the other night, and you know, we had some in-depth conversation about it, but I think that plays into this. So you're probably right. Yes, I need to get back into therapy.
I think that's number one. I think that's priority, because I mean, Keisha, we still deal with that. Like, I mean, yeah. It's been
10 years.
10 years. Mm-hmm. It's been 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about, like, it's been 15 years, mm-hmm, since Bryce passed, and I'm still dealing, mm-hmm, with the effects of how that experience,
right,
is still impacting my life,
mm-hmm,
and how I respond to things that happen in my world.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my little therapy session this week,
mm-hmm,
and I was able to express a lot of that anxiety that I felt, and you know, I asked for suggestions on ways to deal with it, and we talked about meditating, we talked about mindfulness, we talked about and we just took a moment, and we there's an app called Calm. Have you ever heard of it? C-A-L-M, Calm. And we meditated and just breathing, like just being aware, and even conscious of little things like your breath, and
mm-hmm,
and just taking your moment where you can just eliminate all thoughts other than focusing on your breath, can even in that moment help reduce anxiety and stress. And so it's like you got to incorporate practices, you know, that are going to help you in ways like that. You know, I woke up this morning and I hadn't been meditating, but I chose to meditate this morning for about 10 minutes. And I'll be honest with you, like, I just felt like a load was lifted even before I started my day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like having a presence of mind to do those things that are going to center you. And I bought this little book called Lettering, right?
I saw that.
Yeah, on my Instagram. Uh-huh. And you may think I'm weird for this.
No, but I don't. Everybody got their thing.
Everybody got their thing, right? But I'm learning to do things that are going to bring me
peace.
Soothing. Clarity of mind that are soothing. Like, instead of being on my freaking phone scrolling through Instagram all day.
Right.
You know, it's just giving me a sense of calmness and, like, that I enjoyment. Like, I love doing that stuff. Like, when I was online, I got to tell this little story. When I was being pledged at the University of Georgia, there were little things that they asked to do of me because they knew I had good manuscript.
Mm-hmm.
So I would put together, like, one of my big sisters, it was 27 of them on their line.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to write. I put together, like, a little board, and it had their name and their line name and with their numbers, and it was just so neat and cute. So everybody wanted one,
mm-hmm,
right? But that was time consuming, right?
Right.
But it was still something I like to do. And I don't get the chance to do little stuff like that I like to do.
Right.
You know, I like going to hot yoga. I like, mm-hmm, like, I haven't, because my life is just so crazy right now, I haven't been able to incorporate that back into my life.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to start doing those little things that are going to bring you some sense of peace and comfort.
Yeah, I got to get back in the gym too, because what I realized when I was in the gym, and I said it on the show, that even if I wasn't always eating right, if I was in that gym 5 days a week, it did something for my mental state.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm not a scientist, but I'm assuming the endorphins or whatever that you release when you sweat and you,
right,
work out. So if nothing else, I said I'm hitting back the gym Monday.
Yeah.
Like, I got to get back in the gym consistently. And you're right, there are certain things that need to be done, but I just feel like, yeah, if you don't have your mindset straight, you can easily, and maybe madness is a strong word, but kind of, sort of, because you don't, it will spiral, and it does happen quickly. And before you know it, 1 day, 3 days, 5 days, a week, two, you know what I mean, goes by. I don't, thank God that I have clients and business and stuff I have to do, so I'm not allowed to just sit in the house. But what I found myself is doing was going to work, doing what I had to do, and going right back home, because I just didn't want to be around people. You know what I mean? Like, because I think that if I'm not able to be my funny such and such self, people see through me. And then it's gonna be like, well, what's wrong? Then I'm mad because you asking me what's wrong. And then it's also, again, when you're around highly successful, high functioning people, I feel like sometimes y'all don't get it. I really do. And you sharing, I think, is gonna be so helpful for a lot of people that listen to us, that, yeah, I have anxiety, yeah, I have this, but you're still in a state strong enough, but you're also saying that you do the work.
You got to do the work. Keisha, you got to do the work. You got to be committed to doing the work, or else you will, but you'll be crazy. It will be madness. It will, now see, it will develop into something else where you finding a crutch for, in order to cope with your madness, whether that's alcohol, whether that's weed, whether that's porn, whether it's going to, it's going to show up somewhere else. It's going to show up somewhere else. So you do have to make a conscious effort to deal with it, because if you don't, that's where it will show up. It's going to show up in other areas.
So what would you say are the top three ways? You said podcast, you're going to start writing pretty.
Girl, I might start writing my girlfriend, my man letters. I might start writing stuff to y'all, little, you know, little notes of gratitude and sending you stuff, you know, that you just might, oh, like, this is so thoughtful.
You know,
and cute.
I think personal notes are amazing. I think we've gotten so into electronic things, and I agree with you on the whole Instagram and Facebook. Like, I had to just pull away from that. Like, it's just, you know, because as soon as I post, or as soon as I do a story, folks are in my DM. Like, hey, girl, I ain't seen you in a few days. You know what I mean? And it's like, I appreciate it, but at the same time, I sometimes miss the anonymity of not having social media.
Because and not feeling obligated
to engage. Because it is where people, you know, once you start engaging with your quote unquote followers or whatever, and it's, and I don't mind, because most of the time I enjoy it. But when I'm in a mood, I don't want to talk to I don't want to talk to people in real life, let alone the folks on the phone.
And you know, and I struggle with that too, because I know the odds are, from a business perspective, the more I post about anything real estate related, like, I get responses. I get leads from that. And sometimes I just don't be feeling like posting. I'm not, is it really, a lot of my colleagues may post more frequently, and I'm like, dang, I should be posting too. But sometimes I just may be feeling like posting my son Duncan. You know, or posting just something family related. Like,
well, I think you do a good job of combination. Like, you know, your family, you know, your real estate. You don't post as much of real estate, but it's because you're so busy in your business. And one of the things Miko talked about yesterday, she was like, two clients this year she lost because she just didn't, she wasn't able to follow up as much because she's gotten so much business, because she does post a lot. And so, you know, it's like, you do, there has to be a line. You know, of because if you take on too many, you can't service. Like she said,
I'd rather be a disservice to them.
You're being a disservice to them. So, you know, it's a lot, man. It is a lot. Dealing with real life and then dealing with what I feel like is that digital life or whatever with Instagram. But it's a necessary evil for our business. You know what I mean? It's a necessary. And I don't even want to say evil, because I really enjoy it. Like, my little dysfunctional family, I enjoy talking to them. You know what I mean? I love my little dysfunctional family. And, you know, they care. I feel like the majority of them care about me.
Greeno, so funny. On my way here, I left that crazy showing I had this morning, and I stopped at the gas station to get my little coffee, and I walked in there, and the guy behind the counter was like, "Hey, Brandy," and I said, "Hey." He was like, "Oh, I'm just an Instagram stalker," and he said, "I love you and Keisha."
He said,
"I love you and Keisha." It was so sweet.
It is so sweet.
But people, you know what? And I, Keisha, we are doing our part in sharing our stories, which are, you know, personal, but I feel like our experiences resonate with people. And it gives people hope. I think we're real and authentic enough to people where people can see through all the, you know, glitz and glam that comes along with real estate and doing what we do. But like, we're real people behind us that have real life issues, that have real struggles. And we all just trying to make it. At the end of the day, we just take, we wake up, put one foot in front of the other. And if we can help you in any way identify, you know, with how to cope, how to manage the stress that comes along with being mamas on the move. Honey, that's all we doing this
for. And that we're not, and that we're not faking it till we make it, because I'm telling you, I had a girl that said something the other day about how she feels like there are so many Instagram agents that post all of this deep stuff, but then they won't even respond to you. And so I was like, okay. And she was like, well, you're one of the ones that I can go in your DM and you'll respond. You know what I mean? She was like, but I literally stopped following so many agents that I looked up to when I got in this business because I realized it was all smoke and mirrors. And I'm like, well, Instagram is a marketing tool. And that's really what you need to look at it as. And although there are a lot of people who are authentic, I think, but it's a marketing tool.
It is. And I think people can't take offense because I'll be honest, I can't get to every DM that comes in my inbox.
Of course not.
You know, like we are, I mean, we're doing this because, like you said, it's a marketing tool.
Yeah.
We do it to help promote our business.
Right.
We do it to share what's going on in our personal life. We're not obligated to do any of it.
Right.
There is a responsibility to engage, to talk, but like, I'm human. I can't get to everybody's DM.
Right. Right. And she said that now that she's a busier realtor, she understands.
Yeah.
You know, and I think
it takes experiences like that to help you see it. Because I had that come to Jesus moment too.
Right. You told me.
With an agent one time where I got my little feelings hurt. I reached out to this mega agent and said, oh, I just love to do coffee with you one day.
Yeah.
And she never responded to my email.
Them pick your brain lunch offers.
Yeah, girl,
Just, I can't.
And I'm like, okay, I get it. I get it. I'm in your shoes now.
Right.
So I get it.
Right.
So, but that just comes with the territory,
it does.
Young lady.
Yeah, and she totally understood it. And I mean, she's clearly there was an incident that took place with her. She said she shared with me one day, but something happened. But I told her, I said, I get it. And yeah, everybody is not going to be available. And the busier you get, the more difficult it would be. And so even I, with the whole Keeping It Real Estate Academy, I'm in a space now where I want to do something different.
Yeah.
To engage more and just be more up. I don't know, up close and personal to a degree with my next course. I don't want it to be a webinar. I wanted to do,
you know, maybe
do
you do an etiquette course. I had an experience this morning with an agent that was really,
everybody been talking about doing etiquette.
That was really like, it blew my mind, the level of unprofessionalism.
What happened?
So I went to show a house this morning and it was a luxury home. Well, it's my listing. Mm-hmm. And protocol is, you know, the instructions in the system, you have to reach out. My sellers at least need 24 hours notice.
Right.
You have to send over proof of funds.
Of course.
He honored that. He
what's the price point of the home?
$2.5 million. So he sent the request the day before. Let me rewind because he texted me at 10:30 Wednesday night saying, I have a client that's interested in your property at such and such, such and such. And girl, I saw that text and I responded 10:30, right? And he didn't even say who he was on a text.
Really?
Yeah. And so I responded and said, let's touch base in the morning.
Right.
I'm like, it's one, you know, even if I do, if I send an agent a text late, like 8, 9 o'clock, I'm going to say, you know, so sorry to text so late. Mm-hmm. This is Brandy Hunter Lewis. Is if there's a chance that, you know, we need to. So I'm going to at least say that, acknowledge that it's late. Mm-hmm. You don't have to respond, but if you do, great. Mm-hmm. But he didn't do any of that in that text. So that's why I just said, you know, let's chat in the morning.
Okay.
So he sends the proof of funds, texts me the proof of funds and a copy of their driver's license the next day.
He texted to you?
He texted to me, which was odd.
Very odd.
So then I spoke with him and I said, okay, let me see if he gave me the window of time that his clients were available to show, which was between 8 and 12 and then between 5 and 7. I couldn't do 5 and 7. And of course, I'm here recording a podcast, so I could only show it at 8. Mm-hmm. So I let him know. I said, you know, I confirmed with my client. I can meet you out there at 8 o'clock. So I get to the listing. I get a call from an 818 number, a California number. Mm-hmm. A few minutes past 8, and he says, oh, just want to let you know that we're running about 10 minutes behind. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's unusual. Why? How did the buyer even get my, like, why are they calling me directly?
Right.
So then I call him because I said, you know, I said, well, I just got a call from your client. I said, are you coming? He said, oh, let me call them. They did say they were going to be late. And I said, you're not coming? He said, oh, no. He said, it's too far from where I live. And he said it was too early.
You get up earlier, buddy.
Girl.
It's too far from where I live.
And
it's
no,
what it was too early.
It was too early.
Right.
But then he said it was also too far. So he gave me the two excuses.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, wow.
Unbelievable.
And so I didn't get the opportunity to really go in depth because his clients had pulled up at that point.
Right.
So I said, that is not protocol. How you just handled this. I said, I'll talk to you more about this after the showing. Mm-hmm. But it bothered me so much, Keisha, because there's a standard of you know, that's going on within our industry.
Agreed.
And this agent, I'm not going to say no names, but I'm going to say what he does. He posts a lot of pictures of other agents' listings all over his Instagram page, garnering all this attention and likes for listings that aren't even his.
And he doesn't give credit?
He does not give credit. He does not. And here's what we do as listing agents. We earn that business.
Absolutely.
Right. We go through all the things that we go through to earn that business. We pay for pictures. We pay for marketing. We pay for all this stuff.
And you just screenshot it and put it on your Instagram.
And you just screenshot it, steal those pictures and put it on your Instagram without acknowledging me and giving me credit.
Shame.
First of all, it's a violation
absolutely
of the code of ethics of GREC. Like, it's, you can get fined for it,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
But nobody's called him on it. Mm-hmm. He did post one of my listings one time, and I reached out to him and said, you are supposed to give me credit.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to tell you to take it down, but you at least have to acknowledge that it's my listing.
Right.
So he did that, right?
Right.
And I was okay with it. But lo and behold, he comes to show one of my listings, and this is what happens. So it speaks to the lack of professionalism, the lack of courtesy as in professional courtesy. So,
and because he's not having to work.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. The fact that you're, you know, stealing other local agents' listings and putting it up and not even giving them credit. It's like this, what I'm seeing in our industry is this wanting, this need for, you just want to jump to the front of the line.
Just microwave.
You just want to have that microwave success. You know, we could sit here and talk about doing $80,000 deals.
Yeah.
And then you get to a place and you keep working and doing transactions, because the reality is you need those transactions to learn this business.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you got to sell $80,000 houses forever, but I'm telling you, you need to have a certain number of transactions, because when you get to that higher end buyer, the needs and requirements are different.
A whole lot different.
It's a whole lot different. If you don't have anything to build up on that and you don't come from a background of another business where you're accustomed to, you know, and I tell agents all the time, real estate is an on-the-job training business.
Yes.
I mean, you know, and people's like, it's kind of like you practicing on your clients, but that's really what it is.
Yeah.
That's why you need to be with a strong broker and brokerage that is going to back you up and make sure that you're compliant in what you're doing. But so many agents just fall in love with Instagram. And like I said, the doggone red bottoms they're getting from Poshmark and the bags and all of this kind of stuff. And I mean, it frustrates
giving the illusion.
Giving the illusion of success, or giving the illusion of, you know, I earned my way here, when they really haven't done the work yet. Because you can always look the part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that is so unfortunate. So how are you going
to
handle it?
It was very unsettling for me. And I had to think about how I was going to handle it. And I read a message from someone that said, you know, be sure you handle it in love. Because I had posted a little, you know, thing on my Insta story. I said, you know, how should I deal with him? I did say as a courtesy, as a veteran, that I was going to communicate to him how he should have handled that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just so he knows. But then I'm like, you know what? After I know the background of all that other stuff that I just shared with you, I said, he got a sense of what's going on.
He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. So I'm like, should I go to the broker and let his broker know everything that's going on? Because one, he's representing our company, Keller Williams.
Right.
And he's doing it in a way where it's not, you know, it's just not how we conduct ourselves as agents.
And does he really think that he deserves 3% of that commission? Should those folks?
Girl.
I mean, that's a whole nother
thing.
My thing is, and I used to get so irritated when I would see agents say, if I show, you know, if you show 3%, if I show 1.5% or 1%, now I kind of see why.
Oh, yeah.
This is why. That type of behavior where you just want to say, oh, my agent is out to dinner, or my agent is busy, they don't have time, that's their job.
Yeah, and so then, and the way, girl, and then he said this, he said, well, I knew you were going to be there.
It's my 2.5
I knew you were going
listing
to be there.
But you need to, you're not representing your client.
Girl.
The first time a client walks in a house, unless it's a real extreme circumstance or something that just came up,
and that's different.
But you plan for this.
Girl,
You plan for this. I've had a situation before where the client was like, I can only see it today. I'm leaving out of town tomorrow. And I've had that happen one time in a year where a listing agent said, Keisha, don't worry about it. I show. But I had a rapport with that agent.
Yeah.
And it's different.
It's
everything
totally
is different.
If
you co-op with a person before, they're going to handle it different.
It's totally different.
But I don't know you, and you're really just being trifling.
Yeah.
That's really
what
it is.
For you to just come out and say it was too far and it was too early, like, that's flat out just saying.
That's really what it was. It was too early and too far.
I couldn't believe he said it.
Because he didn't think anything was wrong with it.
He could have made up something like, but I couldn't believe he had the audacity to say it.
He didn't think anything was wrong with it.
I know.
Because that is how he's running his business.
But that's why that behavior needs to be corrected.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, you can't be out here representing agents in our industry. And this couple, poor couple, you know, they're here from California. And I'm like,
wow.
You just don't know the level of disservice that you're getting right now. And it's not fair to them.
It's just not fair to them. And they don't even know what kind of disservice they're getting. They're here from out of town. Bless their heart.
Girl, I know.
Girl, that's a mess. But
well, girl,
So anyway,
he had my pressure for a minute this morning, but I had to, like, you know,
handle it with love. But I also think this is your second run in with this guy.
Yeah.
So I think that handling it with love may absolutely include talking to his broker.
Yeah.
I really do, because he's not getting it.
He don't get
it. He doesn't even understand that what he's doing is wrong, or he doesn't care.
Yeah.
It could be one of maybe a little bit of both.
So it needs to be brought to his attention, and maybe by somebody who he will respect.
And it has to start from the top, because again, she's the one, their broker is the one that's going to be fined if somebody decides to say, you know what, that's going to cost them money. So they may want to pull it. You might. That's why I think you need to talk to the broker. But it's been a long week of being rolled hard and put up with.
Girl.
I'm going to get right to this Mama on the Move. This week's Mama on the Move, so we can wrap this thing up, because I just need to regroup.
So my mindset over matter. So where do we leave off on that, Keisha?
I have to make a more concerted effort of keeping my mind in a certain space, because if you don't have your mind, if you don't control, like I said, if you don't control the narrative, it will, if you don't write it, it'll be written for you. But basically, you will go into a place of madness, because you're right, you do feel the dissent.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the dissent, but what your mind tells you is that if you don't control it, if you're not putting those positive things that constantly, you know, it'll start. The devil will play with you. That's what I'm saying. That's why people are out here giving up every day.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't in that space, but I'm telling you, that is what makes people give up.
Yeah.
And then we internalize. So I think, you know, I just have to be more deliberate about making sure I'm pouring good stuff into my mind, into my body, eating better, just all of it. But yeah, because you can descend into madness.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into that place of madness, then the next thing you know, your mind telling you, you're close to the ledge.
Oh yeah.
You close to the ledge. And so I am going to make a concerted effort. I'm going to be in a better mood next time, and not wanting to just, oh, let me go have a drink, because that's not the answer either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Even though I was going to say, when we leave here, we should go have lunch and have a drink.
Day, but I was going to start Monday.
We're going to start on Monday.
Monday's always a good day. But anyway, so I want to give a shout out real quick to this week's Mama on the Move. Her name is Councilwoman Marcy Overstreet, Marcy Carlia Overstreet, and she is like another big sister to me. She was the niece of Mama Cherry, but she raised her like a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So she is her son, Alfonso Overstreet, just got a full ride to USC, because you know signing day was recently, the other day. So he did his signing for the USC.
What sport?
Track.
Nice.
Yep, got a full ride for track. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna graduate from Woodward this year, and her daughter just turned 14. And she has another son who's a Bulldog down in Georgia, Brent.
Okay.
So I saw all of them. This past Saturday, unfortunately, for not a happy event. But I just looked at Marcy. She decided, after being in flight attendant for many years, she retired, and then she kind of just stayed home to take care of the kids, and decided she was going to run for city council.
Wow.
In her district, in the community that she has lived in.
Yeah.
And so I want to just shout out Marcy for being a Mama on the Move. Marcy, call you Overstreet. And I remember when I went through my loss, how even though we weren't as close then as we are now, you know, her showing up at my door, her husband is a doctor and he works a lot. And you know, sending food over and just being, that's what I love about being from Atlanta.
Yeah.
I just love that. And you know, it's just that hometown thing and the way people came together to love on them this past weekend, because Mama Cherry put a lot of love out
there. Oh yeah, clearly.
And
she
was very loved. And so I just wanted to shout out Marcy as our Mama on the Move for this week. Love you, Marcy. And we're going to be here and get to the other side of this. You don't get through it. You don't get over it. You just get through it. That's what
that's
I tell
right.
people. So
that's right.
Marcy Overstreet, Councilwoman Marcy Overstreet, this week's Mama on the Move.
Well, keep being great, Marcy. We honor you for being everything that you are to our community, to your family. And we're just proud of you.
Absolutely. So that's this week's Mama on the Move. Y'all make sure y'all email us. What is the email?
We are mamasonthemove@gmail.com.
We are mamasonthemove@gmail.com. If you have someone, if you yourself or someone you know is a Mama on the Move, please email us. And until next time, y'all.
Keep moving, mamas.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.